Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, in light of all the recessionary fears and concerns, we're tackling the big questions and what you need to know. Are we heading into a recession? What does that mean for your money? Especially if you're retired or closing in on it, we're going to cover it today, so stick around.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. We got a big drive to go today. Kevin Brooker's here, as he always is, 30-plus years helping folks getting to and through retirement. And, boy, over 30 years. By the way, hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Always sunny in Arizona. I'm feeling good.
Absolutely. And this is, we were talking just before the show. Things are a little weird out there.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? And I think weird is putting it lightly. You know,
so how about, maybe it's like this with tariffs on, tariffs off. It kind of sounds like, right?
It does, for sure. That is very apropos right there.
I thought so too.
Was that Benny Hill?
Benny Hill, the Benny Hill theme. Yeah.
Oh god, it takes me back to high school. I used to watch reruns.
Yeah. And then riding a little bike, falling. I mean, you know, yeah. But it's just a cluster.
Craziness ensues. Yes.
Well, that's what it is, man. It's crazy.
It is, you know, it's like one, and this back and forth. This is a definition of a trade war, guys. Is that one nation says we're going to put a tariff on stuff you know we import from you guys, and they come back and they retaliate with a tariff on, you know, things going into their country. That's exactly what we have going on between China and the U.S. right now. That was started by Trump. Janet Yellen just came out on record saying something like, this is the worst self-inflicted mistake I've seen in my lifetime, something like that.
Wow, that's powerful.
It is powerful considering she's former, you know, Treasury Secretary and former, you know, Federal Reserve head. Mm-hmm. She is a very, very well-respected woman, and that's the thing, guys. This is all self-inflicted, and that's the part that's driving me crazy. It's driving everybody nuts. Any businessman, businesswoman that's trying to make a decision on, you know, should you build another plant? Should you build another factory? And if you do, where is it? You know, should you expand? Should you bring out your new product line? Should you hire more people? The problem is when you don't know, I always tell people, if I know the rules, then I can play the game. But if you don't know the damn rules, how exactly are you going to play the game? And that's the thing. We don't know what sectors are going to get hit. Now he's talking about slapping the tariff on pharmaceuticals over and above what he's already talked about. And for the record, I believe we get – I believe the majority of our generic pharmaceutical drugs come from India, which he's already put, I think, a 27% tariff on. And a lot of the brand products come from China, which now, as of today, has a 145% tariff. All right? And people have been having trouble figuring out, okay, which, you know, because we got 50 here, 10 here, 25 here, where exactly are we? And the news earlier this week was reporting that it was 125% now, but the White House actually came out and said, no, you guys are wrong. It's actually 145 because of some previous, you know, because of all the, what's there's been six, seven different ones added together. So I don't, you know, China's one of our biggest trading partners, right? Mm-hmm. Chinese vendors account for over half of the retail merchants on Amazon. Amazon's boss, what's his name, Jay-Z, something like that? Jassy, Andy Jassy, I think it is.
Yes, yep, that's him.
Okay, so he just came out and said, guys, sorry, but, you know, these companies are not operating with 50% profit margins, so we're going to have to pass along the price increases. And Walmart, CEO of Walmart, I think Doug McMillon, maybe, he came out and said the same thing. He goes, we will do everything we can not to pass along price increases, but I can't imagine how we can basically I can't imagine how we can get it done when they're so extreme at over 100% from China. Walmart gets a lot of their product, a lot of their supplies from China. So, mm-hmm.
Well, here, I've got Andy Jassy. And this is exactly what he's talking about, buying from China. Here's what he says.
Whenever you have any threat of any kind of discontinuity, as a team, you have to think about what are the things you can do to help customers. And so we're doing everything we can to try and keep prices the way they've been for customers, as low as possible. And you know, so we'll do things like we've done some strategic forward inventory buys to get as many items as makes sense for customers at lower prices.
So that's what they're doing, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I tell you what. I had my wife do the same thing. I told her, go out and buy anything that, if it doesn't expire or go bad, mm-hmm. We should stock up on it.
Well, so I got one more bit from him, if you don't mind.
Sure, sure.
Here's Andy Jassy, and this one he kind of says, well, who ends up paying for all this stuff?
I think we'll have to see how it all plays out. But if you made me guess, you know, I'm guessing that that sellers will pass that cost on. Yeah, you know, I think they'll try, and I understand why. I mean, depending on which country you're in, you don't have 50% extra margin that you can play with.
There you yep. go. That's the quote I was referring to.
Yeah, well, good. And, I'm glad I had it.
You know, I'm really glad you had it. That was very opportune. And so thank you for those clips. You know, because, guys, I pride myself in being honest and saying what I actually think and what I believe is to be true. And I try to fact check, double and triple check everything. Because if anyone paying attention knows there's some very biased news reporting going on out there, both to the right and the left. And I have a harder and harder time believing anything that comes out of Washington, because, you know, how many times have they been dishonest in the past? And now they're trying to control the press. They booted the AP out of the press pool, even though a judge ruled they can't do that. Now they're taking control of different articles that are written. Apparently there's some sort of press pool that feeds articles for smaller writers or journalists to bigger outlets, and they're restricting that flow. So if it's anything negative about the White House or the administration or about Trump, they're trying to shut it down. So pay attention,
didn't
please.
Didn't they do that over Biden? I don't mean to be a contrarian, but didn't they do the same thing?
No, and I don't. Maybe they did. If they did, somebody pointed out to me. I don't remember it, and I haven't read any articles about that.
Well, the book just came out, guys. That's what the author said.
Authors can say anything. Is that supposed to be an act of fiction or nonfiction? I don't recall any, because the Associated Press, as far as I know, is a very well-regarded publication. I don't think they take any advertising. And so to me, if they don't, like The Guardian out of the UK,
right.
You know, they don't take any advertising. To me, that means they should be the most objective of anybody out there.
You would think so.
You know, that's what it seems like to me. But anyway, my point is, if you're trying to stifle the press, And you want to, you know, bring in these rogue judges that are disagreeing with anything the administration wants to do, I think you're creating potentially a constitutional crisis, and that has me very, very seriously concerned. So anybody that has any concerns about stocks, I've been telling them to reduce their stock holdings. If you're younger and you've got a long time horizon, meaning, you know, 10 years or more, then I think you should continue to buy. Just try to be selective. Don't buy, you know, hopefully, you know, when we had that big reverse this week when, you know, Trump decided he's going to put it on pause, put the tariffs on pause for, what, 90 days, and the market jumps almost 3,000 points, that's not the time to buy. That would be the time to sell.
Yes.
And that's what I had told people, was telling people last week when it was down, down, down every day, is that all it's going to take is one post or one tweet from either him or anybody in his circle, and the markets are going to jump in a heartbeat. And I said, so if we want to reduce our stock holdings, that's when you do it, okay? That's how you do it. Get an upswing, get an uptick, and then you reduce something if you feel like you've got too much risk exposure, all right? So it all comes down to how much risk a person is willing to take and how much risk they're comfortable with. And if you find yourself losing sleep, you know, any negative signs or symptoms, right? You're anxious, you're losing sleep, you're thinking about it all the time. If you're looking at quotes all the time, if you're pulling up your account all the time, those are generally signs that you're nervous. And you might do well to reduce your risk exposure, at least for now. What I'm suggesting to folks is I think it makes sense to reduce risk exposure for the next several months, going into maybe September, October. And the couple reasons I'm looking at that, and I know I got a little bit off topic here, but I want to try to help some people with figure out a perspective or a strategy.
Sure, and, sounds good.
And one thing that I point to and that I remember is there's an old saying on Wall Street, it's sell in May and go away. That's been around forever. And it's because seasonally, the stock market is the weakest between roughly May and September, you know, April, October. That 5-6 month period of the year is when the market historically shows the least amount of its performance. The other part of the year, from October to April, that's where you get, I believe, over 80% of the returns, if not more, from the S&P if you go back 100 years. And so we have seasonal weakness. We have the most uncertainty in this market that I can ever recall, and I've been doing this since 1990. So in 35 years, to me, this is the hardest environment I've ever seen.
So this really, it's that intense for you?
It is.
Okay,
it is.
Well, again, I mean, those are genuine.
It is. No, that's a fact. That's my opinion, my interpretation as an investment advisor right now. Because any argument you give me that's positive, I can give you a negative one, and vice versa. And so in other words, when we look at everything that's happening, when the administration comes out and they're just kissing his ass way too much, man. I'm sorry, but every time they do an interview, the president's going to make us great. This is going to make us great. Tell us how. How are you going to raise prices and impose tariffs on our biggest trading partners, and prices are not going to go up? And then they say something about building a factory. Guys, it takes years to build a plant, years to build a factory. Apple, they talk about Apple moving production to the States. That's just not in the realm of reality. Okay.
That doesn't seem like it to me either.
You know what, Steve? You know how many people Apple employs in China?
Oh, gosh.
Three million.
3 million?
3 million.
Wow.
In China. Okay.
Holy
cow. So we don't have 3 million people that can do those jobs. That's just a fact. We don't. We don't have that one. A lot of them don't want to. Guys, a lot of people, you know what, if I go out with my friends, say, how many of you guys want your kids to work in a factory? You know how many people raise their hand?
Nobody.
Nobody. Okay? Nobody. So all this talk about bringing these, you know, factories back, it's not 1950. All right? We have a totally different world, and I believe if any factories that are built, they're going to have far less human workers. They're going to have far more robot workers, and they're going to be employing AI and technology to do everything they possibly can. Like if you look at Amazon, their back office, their warehouses, they've got all kinds of robots buzzing around.
Oh yeah, I know. I've seen video.
It's crazy. I mean, it's impressive. All right, but that's not going to. I just don't think it. I don't think it's going to solve our problem. Personally, I don't, because our employment rate before any of this was barely over 4%. So the economy, I think the economy was doing pretty well. It wasn't growing gangbusters, but inflation had come down from 8 or 9% down below 3%, and now the Federal Reserve Bank out of Atlanta is forecasting negative growth for the first quarter, saying we officially have already went into recession, and they're forecasting 3.5 to 4% inflation for the next 12 to 18 months on an annualized basis, which is double what they strive for. What they want is inflation below 2%. Ideally, it's 1.5%, 1.7%, 1.8%, right in that range, 1.5% to 2%. That's what they want, all right? So with all the tariffs, to me, what's going to happen is you're going to slow down productivity. You're going to slow down economic growth because people are going to consumer spending is almost 70% of this economy, anywhere between 2/3 and 70%, depending on who you ask.
Okay.
So, you know, right, people spend money when they're making money, when they've got a job. And when they feel good about things, when their confidence is high that they're going to be able to continue to work, that I'm not in danger of losing my job, and you know they make plans right about spending money. But when you create uncertainty and you take away that confidence, that's when people think twice about spending that dollar or that $100 or, you know, $10,000, whatever it is, and they get more reluctant. And so what I think is going on, I think a lot of people right now are stocking up on things just like I had my wife do. And I think a lot of people, if they're thinking about buying a car, they're probably going to buy it right now, hopefully before it gets impacted by the tariffs. You know, like Land Rover, they completely stopped shipments to the United States of their vehicle. They own Jaguar, Range Rover. They totally stopped shipments to the U.S. just this week. And so that to me sounds like a reduction in supply of automobiles. And at the same time, you're going to slap a 25% tariff on a lot of those parts. On steel, aluminum, and so it looks to me like the price of new cars is going up considerably, and so I have to think that's going to drive up the cost of used cars as well, because a lot of people are going to say, I can't afford a new car, I got to look at a used car. And so to me, I think we're going into a higher inflation period, and I believe unemployment is going to rise, because I think companies are going to start cutting people as opposed to hiring people. And so I personally think we're going into recession if we're not already in one. And so because of that, and because this seasonal weakness from spring and summer, I think it makes sense to build up a little more cash. I like holding it in short-term bonds because I'm getting 5, 6, 7% out of those. And different strategies. There are some that I use that use treasuries, and they sell, and they're doing a covered call strategy using treasuries. So if you don't know what that is, give me a call. I'd be happy to go through it with you. Because it's a way you can make over 7% interest on these right now, and without a lot of volatility, far less. Now they do still fluctuate, but nowhere near as much as the stock market. Okay, and so you've got a lot more stability, and you've got a good dividend, monthly dividend coming in, and so that's what I'm doing with clients that would like to reduce the risk between now until we get some more clarity, right? Until. You know, I would have loved to see, rather than these trade wars. Well, personally, I think the authority should be in Congress. I thought Congress was the only one that had the power to impose a tariff. But that's apparently why they're citing wartime acts, and they're citing laws from the late 17 and 1800s to justify a lot of their actions. Because that's the only way they can do it. So hopefully the bill that's in front of Congress now, it does have some bipartisan support, and that would remove the power from the president to impose these types of tariffs, and therefore remove the possibility of whipsawing the markets back and forth every day.
Yeah, because that would be comforting if that didn't happen. So,
yes.
So getting, I mean, this probably is a sidebar, but right now with the volatility and everything going on, sequence of returns risk keeps coming into my head.
Yes.
And this is when it can really happen, can it?
It can for sure. Actually, it already has.
Yeah.
It already has. So if you were getting ready to retire, and you're banking on withdrawing a certain amount of money from your stock and bond portfolio, well, we just had depending on where you're invested, you could have easily dropped 20%.
Yeah.
You know, just in the last, month or 6 weeks. So that means you'd have had a corresponding reduction in your income, right? So that's why we've talked many times about, you know, as you're getting ready for retirement and you want to create an income plan, and we want to, I prefer an income plan that has guaranteed, you know, interest. You know, for instance, it could be I say MIGA, it's a multi-year guaranteed annuity.
Right.
So for instance, and guys, the reason I recommend fixed annuities as opposed to a bank CD is simply because the interest rate is better. All right. I can't find any bank CDs that are paying over 5%, but I can find you all kinds of fixed annuities that are. And so I can get a guaranteed rate of 5.3 for 3 years, no fees, no charges, just plain vanilla guaranteed interest. I can get 6% for 5 years if you can leave it alone and you don't have to touch it. Because the catch is that you can't even take out the interest. If you want to take out the interest, you can get 5.6 guaranteed for 5 years. So there are some solid alternatives out there, but they're better rates than you can get at a bank CD. That's why I recommend fixed annuities. As something for the certainty. And so I like to look at it, say, listen, if you got $500,000 and you're getting 5% off it, then you're getting $25,000 a year in interest, right? And so you got a little over $2,000 a month just in interest without touching the principal. That's something that you can rely on and know that it's going to be there and the rate's not going to change, at least for that whatever term you took out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I prefer that versus the stock market. unless you have the ability to reduce your withdrawals when the market drops. And a lot of people don't even want to think about that. So it all comes down to, you know, your risk tolerance and what you're looking to do. But the sequence of returns means that if you have your portfolio in the stock market, essentially, and the first, let's say 3 years of returns, that's the sequence, year one, year two, year three, and so on. If that sequence is negative, then the chances of your nest egg lasting are greatly diminished, all right, versus if your first 3 years are positive. And to give an example, what I always like to do is say, let's go back in time. Anybody that's retiring now should remember this. Let's go back to the 1990s. And let's say you retired in 1990, 1991, and you left all your money in the stock market. You had several years of fantastic performance. 94, if I remember right, was down maybe 1% or 2%. But essentially, the 90s were a fantastic bull market. And you would have had a lot more money by 1999 than you did in 1991 if you left it just in the S&P 500. Now, so your first few years, your sequence initially on those returns was very good because you're making money. But now let's say you retire in 2000 and you leave all your money in the stock market. Well, the spring of 2000 is when the S&P 500 hit its peak, and then it started to go down. And it kept going down for the next 2.5 years until October of 2002. Do you remember that, Steve?
I do remember that. Now that you say it, sure. What a weird time.
2.5 years going down, down, down to the point that the S&P was down over 40%. NASDAQ, I think, was down 60 or 70% cumulatively in that entire period of time. And so that sequence of returns, those first 3 years from when you retired in, you know, 2000, 2001, and 2002, those are very negative, right? And so you could have identical size portfolios. You know, let's say each person has $1 million. But the difference between if you started in a bull market versus starting in a bear market is huge. It's enormous, the difference between those accounts. And we always talk about that example for anybody that's looking to keep a large portion of money in the markets if they plan on getting income off of it. All right. If you have income from other sources, or, you know, so you don't need income from your stock portfolio, then that could be a totally different discussion. If you don't need it, ideally, if the markets start to go down, your portfolio goes down, then you just lower your withdrawals or stop them altogether, even better, right? And let it recover. Because the average recession, like we're talking about recession, the average bear market in a recession is 9 or 10 months. It's not horrible, okay? But we have had some that lasted a few years. Whereas what a lot of market strategists look at is they say, well, the average bull market actually lasts 2.5 or 3 years. And if you look back historically, 3 times out of 4, the stock market is higher on a calendar year basis. So roughly 75% of the time, the market goes higher. And so that's why so many people just say, stay in there, hold on, because it's going to come back. Because so far, the stock market has always come back to go to new highs. And so I believe it will do that again. But it's impossible to know when we've got a president that's making these arbitrary decisions that have trillions of dollars of impact in the markets on a daily basis. And so one thing I would like to see is an investigation into all the senators and Republicans, especially everybody, the billionaires in a circle. I want to look at their trading accounts. I want an investigation to see if anybody was putting on any trades, specifically the day he said it's probably a good time to buy, and then he puts out the letters DJT. If that's not market manipulation, I don't know what is. So I think we need to take a look at who's made a lot of money off these moves to make sure nobody's profiting where they shouldn't be. But guys, I do think it makes sense to be reluctant and be cautious now, until we get clarity. But, you know, JP Morgan is saying 60% chance of a recession, depending on who you ask. And so to me, it's not about so much just the textbook definition of recession. But consumer confidence has really taken a major hit. Business confidence, which is even more important, has also taken a massive hit. So sentiment has really dropped. And that means people are going to start holding off on purchases. They're going to take a road trip instead of a trip across the country or a trip to a different country.
Sure.
And I think people are going to pull back spending, and I think that's going to slow down the economy. If you take it further, is that earnings estimates for companies and for the S&P 500, again, they've got to come down. And that means analysts have to lower their estimates. They cannot come out with revisions. Some of them already have. Some of them are already lowering their end-of-year price targets. And so if we have a slowing economy, higher unemployment, lower earnings, those to me look like the S&P could drop another 10 to 20%. So I hope it does not happen. Believe me, I've got money in there too. You know, some money I've kept in. I have sold and liquidated a lot of my AI plays. A lot of my individual stocks I got out of a few weeks back. I do still hold some funds with stocks. But to me, there's been a lot of damage done in the stock market from a trading and technical perspective. And so I would rather give up some of the upside, but have confirmation and more confidence that the trend is reversed, as opposed to trying to bottom fish and catch a falling knife and maybe see it go down another 20% from here.
Sure. Well, so as things are kind of going along, is this a good time for a Roth conversion then?
There we go. You nailed it right there, man. I tell you what, Steve, that is the title of my show from last week. and that's exactly it. Maybe consider a Roth conversion while the market's down. That is a great, great, great idea. That's something we talked about last week as well. Mm-hmm. And guys, if you've got any money in an IRA or a 401k and you have the ability to convert it to a Roth, okay, because there's no income limit. See, one of the problems that high-income people have is that they earn too much to qualify in order to be able to contribute directly to a Roth IRA. But the backdoor way they can a high-income person can get in there is through a Roth conversion, all right? So let's say, for instance, you own NVIDIA stock, right? And you mm-hmm. had huge gains when it was $130, $140. Well, now it's, what, $100, $105, something like that? Maybe now it's a good time to convert some of that holding. I'm not saying convert cash. I'm saying if you have holdings, stock holdings, maybe you have an S&P index fund, right? Chances are if you've got any mutual fund in the S&P 500, you want some Apple, all right? Apple has taken a big hit because Apple is supposed to be one of the biggest victims of all these taxes and tariffs on China, because they make a lot of their stuff in China. If they move iPhone production to the States, you'd probably be paying $5,000 for an iPhone. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, that only stands to reason.
Yeah, you know, so I don't know if anybody should be really hoping for that. You know, but I do think it's a great time to be thinking about a Roth conversion. Because know something is that, now you need to double check this with your tax person. I don't think it's changed, but I'm not a CPA or a tax person. I know a lot about it because of what I do. But I believe you have the ability to convert, let's say you convert some stock holdings to a Roth. So by doing that now, you're paying tax on the amount you convert. So if your shares are at $100 instead of $140, obviously you're paying less taxes, right?
Yes.
So you're converting it now with the idea being that when it goes back up again, it's going to be tax-free for you then because it's in a Roth, right? So let's say the timing is bad and you convert something now and you see it go down another 20 or 30% before the end of the year. I believe you still have the ability to do what's called a recharacterization. And that's what you need to double check with your tax people, all right, to see if a recharacterization is still a possibility, because the government likes to mess with these things all the time. So if it's a concern of yours that converting something now might not be the best move because it could go lower, that's your answer. Verify if you can do that, because if you can still do it, you have nothing to lose. You follow me? You have nothing because you can change it back if it didn't work out the way you wanted to. So, but we need to verify it because those rules have changed quite a bit in the last decade. But that is something I would definitely be looking at. I think, by the way, I think a Roth conversion makes a ton of sense for a lot of people. I think as long as you leave it in there, you know, for a 5-year period, and that's from the date of your first, I believe it's from your first money that went into the Roth. You know, because I do that. I've got a Roth for myself. I got, you know, my wife has one. We also have a health savings account, which is an HSA, which is another tax-free account that if you're able to get a qualified health insurance plan that is qualified as HSA eligible, that's the biggest hurdle for most people. But the HSA is actually truly tax-free. You never pay tax on the money as long as you follow the rules. So that to me is a great way to go into retirement because, like, for instance, a lot of people don't like that, you know, there's tax on your Social Security if you earn – really, if you earn much money at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't take much. And while I would love it if there were no income taxes on it, I personally, I hate the talk of tax cuts. when we've got a $36 trillion debt that is continuing to grow every day. And this administration, yes, this administration, has what I'm seeing is forecast to be a $1.5 trillion trade deficit just for the first 6 months of the year. So that is added to the debt, essentially. All right. So we're paying $1 trillion in interest. Personally, I think they should let this 2017 tax cuts expire, because Republicans are trying to jam that through. That's going to add $5 trillion to the debt. So if this keeps going forward, guys, you should start thinking about what you can do for your kids and your grandkids to help them get wealthier, because they're going to need a lot more money in the future.
So that's the conversation that you probably have with people, and that does this change the estate plan? Should we be doing anything there?
Oh gosh, well I tell you what, there is something.
That's probably too premature to even say something like that. So
it's hard. You could say it's premature because the rules are changing every day.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
You know, and that's what's made this such a frustrating environment is this the uncertainty. And the fact that one person has this much power is driving me crazy. I don't think any one person should have this much power. I thought that was Congress's role, is budgeting and things like that. You know, but there seems to be a lot of blurry lines between the different branches, and the executive branch is clearly trying to exert more power and authority over the judicial branch too. So, I don't know where this is all going to lead, but it makes me cautious. And as far as the state plans go, as far as tax planning goes, I am encouraging people to really think about doing a Roth conversion this year. Nobody wants to pay the taxes, but if you think there's a chance the tax cuts do not get extended, then it's going to make a lot of sense for you to pay that tax bill now versus in the future.
Sure, sure.
And also, if you have the opinion you think tax rates are going higher in the future, which I do, otherwise we're going to wind up defaulting on our debt, which is God knows what that would look like. So I think it makes sense. Give it some serious thought, folks. If you have money, positions in an IRA that you can convert to a Roth, it might make a lot of sense for you to do that this year.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making an investment decision.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.